Hi, this is Bill Woods. I wanted to just come talk to you today about what I think is very important. I've entitled this, Your Happiness Isn't God's Top Priority. And I guess a second title could be, Dumber Than an Ass. I'm taking remarks from John 14, verse 15, from Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, from Mark chapter 8, verses 37, 38, and Numbers chapter 22. You know, I knew a pastor, he's backslidden. He'd lost his romance with God, and he kind of was just wanting to have his own way. And I remember he told me he was getting ready to leave his family, his wife and his two kids, and go off with another lady. And he said, God doesn't want me to live like that, being unhappy. He doesn't want me miserable. God wants me to be happy. Well, I heard about another man that worked at a funeral home in Sacramento. He worked with my father-in-law, Early Carpenter, and he was always saying, you know, God really doesn't want me to be unhappy. He wants me to leave my wife and go with this other lady, and I'll find true happiness. That's the cry over and over. God wants me happy. Somehow we've gotten the mistaken idea that God's main concern is for our happiness. Television evangelists and modern theology have promoted the idea that God wants everyone to be healthy, wealthy, happy, and comfortable. Joel Osteen and a score of other TV preachers promote this concept. They don't want to make anyone feel guilty and uncomfortable. They want people to know that we believe that your best days are ahead, God has great plans for you, and we want to be there to help encourage you along the way. It might surprise you to find out that your happiness is not God's top priority. I'm not sure your happiness even plays into God's concern. Obedience is what God wants. In John chapter 14, verse 15, in the New Living Translation, says, if you love me, obey my commandments. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. Your relationship to God and your character are the only two things that you're going to take with you into eternity. Another great surprise might be you'll never be completely happy until you're in God's will. Our society is all mixed up in their values. Like a department store where someone has changed all the price tags and has paid $1,500 for a handkerchief and maybe $1.50 for a big screen TV. People waste their lives pursuing things that they think will make them happy, and they miss out on what's really important. Jesus met a rich young ruler one day. The story found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so we know it's an important story. This young man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to get inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, keep all the commandments and obey God. He said, I've done this from the time I was a child. And Jesus said, then there's still one thing you have to do. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible says that it was too much, that he was very sorrowful because he was very rich and he could not do that. Now, I don't know that God would have really made him sell everything. I think he was just testing to see how much he loved him, if this rich young man loved Jesus more than any of the other things. And I think that that would have been straightened out. It was kind of like when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain because God said, go sacrifice your son. That was a test to make sure that God was number one in Abraham's life. You remember that Abraham did not have to kill Isaac, but instead God sent a substitute, a goat that was trapped by its horns in a bush, and that took the place of Isaac. Well, I think probably if this young man would have said, oh God, that's enough, I'll go and sell everything and follow you, that maybe God might have said, well, I just needed to know that I was number one. You know, many people think material wealth will satisfy them and make them happy, only to discover that happiness they want eludes them. I'm not suggesting those outside of God's will cannot find happiness of some kind. I am saying, though, that true and lasting happiness won't be found away from God. God has, when he created us, put a niche in the human heart that only he can fill. We can try to fill it with thrills and alcohol and sex and all kinds of things, but nothing will satisfy that until we fill it with God. Numbers chapter 22 is the story of how the Moabite king Balak wanted to put a curse on Israel because he was afraid that so many people traveling through his land would devour all the food and destroy his economy. Numbers chapter 22 verses 3 and 4 said, "And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, 'This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass in the field.' Balak, the king of Moab, contacted the Midianites, who were descendants of Keturah, who was Abraham's second wife in his old age after Sarah had died, and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. King Balak had seen how the Israelites had destroyed the Amorites, and he didn't know that God had forbidden Israel to attack Moab, so he was terrified that the same end awaited his people that happened to the Amorites. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 9 says, 'The Lord warned us, do not bother the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, or start a war with them. I've given them their property, and I will not give you any of their land.' Balak sent for Balaam to come put a curse on Israel because he didn't know how to handle it. Numbers chapter 22, verses 5 and 6 says, 'So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land at Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless and curses fall on people you curse." He knew that Israel was too strong for his army to defeat, so Balak sent for Balaam to come and put a curse on Israel. A curse was a spoken word believed to bring misfortune on the one it was spoken against. Balaam had the reputation of pronouncing curses that actually worked. Balaam, then, when he got this message, responded, "Well, let me pray about it." Numbers chapter 22, 8 through 12 says, "Stay here overnight," Balaam said. "In the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directed me to say." So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. That night God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men visiting you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. 'Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to stand up to them and drive them from the land.' But God told Balaam, 'Do not go with them. You're not to curse these people, for they have been blessed.'" Wow, that answer seems very clear. I mean, clear enough that people should understand it, doesn't it? God said, "Don't go with them. Don't curse them." Balaam sent the messengers back to Balak with the answer, "No, I can't come." And that should have been the end of it. King Balak, though, wouldn't take no for an answer, so he increased the bounty that he was going to pay if Balaam would come. You know, that's how Satan works. He offers whatever he thinks it will take to meet your price. The old saying says, "Every man has his price." Listen, do not make deals with the devil. He will always shortchange you no matter what he offers. He promises happiness. Remember, he's a liar, and any deal you make with Satan is a bad deal. I remember I wasn't popular in high school, and And one day some people came and offered me an opportunity to join the Demolé. And I was really flattered about that. But thank God I listened to my pastor that said, no, that would get you involved in things that you as a Christian could not be comfortable with, and it would pull you away from God. And so I turned that down because I'd rather have God's blessing than to have all the things the world has to offer. Well, Balak's people came back. Balaam should have told them, no way. I know that what God's answer is, but he didn't say that because he knew how happy he would be with all the wealth that Balak was offering to him. And it was within his reach. Numbers chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 said, but Balaam responded to Balak's messengers, even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. But stay here one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. He was saying, well, maybe God had thought it over and changed his mind. Shouldn't Balaam be happy? I mean, shouldn't I have all the things that he's offering so that would give me all kinds of comfort in my old age? Doesn't God sometimes change his mind? Doesn't he stay current with the times? You know, it's strange how we can rationalize around God's will. We think, well, I'm special. Those rules that he has maybe apply to others, but not to me. Because God wants me happy. I'll sin now and get what I want and straighten it out with God when I'm finished, and then I'll have what I want and the right relationship with him too. Be careful there, my friend. That's not going to work. It's interesting how often we convince ourselves we're right. We have a right to disobey God because he understands. I remember working or trying to win a man that lived in my neighborhood, went him to Jesus Christ, and his answer was always, oh, Bill, God and me have an understanding. God, and we understand God doesn't expect the same thing from me he does from you. Well, he's dead now, and I wonder how that understanding worked out. You know, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give thanks to him. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand They break their promises. They are heartless and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, and yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. You know, our whole society knows cohabitation and abortion, homosexuality, pornography, alcohol, illicit sex, drugs, and all the other immorality and sin happening today is wrong. But somehow we've excused it in order to be politically correct, not wanting to offend anyone, not wanting to be guilty of hate speech. Balaam decided he wanted happiness and wealth and comfort more than he wanted to obey God. God will let us do our thing if we demand to, because we have free choice. We can choose to sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. And God is not going to force himself on us. He'll let us do what we want to do, but when it comes time for payment, we're not going to want that. Numbers chapter 22:20 said, "That night God came to Balaam and told him, 'Since these men have come to you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do.' Balaam saddled his donkey and went with the Moabites. He knew this wasn't God's plan, but he didn't want to miss this golden opportunity to take care of old number one. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, 'Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.' What that is saying, which I know you understand, is do things God's way, and he will care for your needs. Well, God was furious with Balaam. He had been very clear with Balaam, telling him what he wanted him to do. And God's anger burned against Balaam. Balaam knew he wasn't being submissive to God's will. God sent an angel to administer discipline. And this is very interesting. Numbers chapter 22:22-34 said, "But God was angry with Balaam, that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, he tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. And this time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. 'What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times?' it asked Balaam. 'You've made me look like a fool,' Balaam shouted. 'If I had a sword with me, I would kill you.' 'But I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life,' the donkey answered. 'Have I ever done anything like this before?' 'Well, no,' Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. 'Why did you beat your donkey those three times?' the angel of the Lord demanded. 'Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would certainly have killed you by now and spared the donkey.' Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, 'I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you are against my going.'" Well, now, where would he get the idea that maybe God was against his going? And by the way, I think he owed an apology to the donkey too, don't you? Well, evidently the donkey was more prayed up than Balaam was, because he saw the danger. Balaam turned out to be dumber than the ass. Balaam lost it. He beat the poor donkey three different times. He was so mad, he didn't even think it was strange when that donkey talked to him. When he arrived at Moab, Balak wanted to curse Israel. After God's warning, though, I wouldn't have wanted to try it. He tried to curse Israel, but only blessings came out of his mouth. Then they even tried different locations to see if that would work. It didn't. God will have his way in every circumstance. You can believe that God is going to be in control. Balaam wanted to be happy, but things didn't work out when he tried to circumvent God's will to get what he wanted. Things won't work out for you either if you ignore God, if you go against his will. I think there are some other examples we should look at. King Saul, the first king of Israel, disobeyed God and got in a lot of trouble. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, God rejected him as king. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, he rejected God. And it's too bad because he had been given everything, but somehow or other got his eyes off of God and onto other things in the world and lost out. Samson didn't do what God wanted to do. He was supposed to never tell about his hair, but he told Delilah and she had it cut, and he lost his strength, lost his fellowship with God. Judas is another one that got his eyes off of who Christ was and onto 30 pieces of silver. You know, the only conclusion we can draw is God's ways are best ways. Until we submit to that truth, we won't find peace, happiness, or fulfillment. I remember the story of Saul of Tarsus, who was out trying to destroy this new Christian sect. He was cursing all the Christians, arresting them, taking them to trial. Some of them were being killed. Remember, Stephen was stoned to death. But one day, God caught Saul on the road to Damascus, and he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, God?" And God said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." And remember, then he was taken into Damascus. He was blind for 3 days. And then finally, you know, he was prayed up and the scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see, and he became Paul the Apostle. And what a wonderful, dynamic person he was proclaiming the word of God. Well, finally, Balaam told Balak if God wanted to defeat Israel, he should send his young men and women into Israel's camp to infiltrate their nation. This would violate the pure Jewish race God wanted for them, and it would bring in idol worship and paganism that God could no longer bless. You know, Satan's doing the same thing today. He's infiltrating churches and teaching his heresies to compromise and destroy God's people. There's so many pastors that are not even preaching the true gospel today. They're just tickling itchy ears. We need to see a revival where we get back to the Word of God, where we get back to total commitment to Jesus Christ, where we begin to live like God wants us to and not compromise our convictions. If we cater to our own desires for too long, we will destroy our happiness here and will end up with unending bliss, our punishment that we will not get to heaven. We'll have to end up in hell. We don't want to do that for all eternity, is what I'm saying. All right, God's main concern is not your happiness, but your obedience. When you obey God, you will have the rest. Remember the question asked in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. It said, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" In Mark chapter 8, verses 37-38, "Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of the Father with his holy angels." I want to tell you, don't mess with God's word. Don't turn your back upon Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him, accept him as your personal Savior, and let God fulfill your life as he wants to. Let's pray. Father, I'd pray today that you help each one that's listened to this message. I'd pray, God, that we might discern the fact that there's nothing better than having a relationship with you, and that you will bless and keep us. You'll give us strength for things we have to face. And best of all, we will become your children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we will have a home in heaven. Lord, I'd pray that you help those who don't know you today, that maybe have listened to this podcast, that they'll take the time to confess their sins and ask you to be their personal Savior. Lord, I just pray for each one of us that will draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, don't forget, I'll be preaching tomorrow at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook on the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo. And Sunday school starts at 10, morning worship's at 11. Tomorrow evening I'll be showing a good video at 6 o'clock. We do have Bible studies usually, but I've got a video that I think would be very beneficial to everybody to watch. I would invite you to come. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you know the routine. It's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can send me a message on my phone number, 623-845-2741. Or use that number to text me, and I'll be glad to do whatever I can to get back to you. God bless you, and I hope that God will help you to be all that he wants you to be, because that's where the joy and happiness is. God bless.